Good morning. It is time to get up with So Long, Stefan. The superstar shuffles off from Buffalo. We'll tell you exactly why this move made sense. Meanwhile, did it also make a Super Bowl favorite? They're young, scrappy, and hungry, and they're not throwing away their shot in Houston. Plus, oh, they've clinched it already, but uneasy lies the crown. We've got the only thing that could still derail the Celtics Express. All that and a whole lot more as we get up with you starting right now on a Thursday. Let's go. We got it. I think McNutt was the only one who got the Hamilton reference. Am I right? We all got it. We all got young, scrappy, and hungry. I love it. And you know who else is? Adam Schefter. He's going to join us in just a minute. And Harry Douglas. What's the last time you were called young, scrappy, and hungry, Schefty? We'll walk on that later. In the meantime, we got the huge trade yesterday. Let's do it. The Buffalo Bills sending away Stefon Diggs to Houston after a season filled with questions and what appeared at times as there was perhaps friction with star quarterback Josh Allen. Buffalo's going to carry a dead money charge of roughly $31 million next season as part of this deal. Let's start with the Bills general manager Brandon Bean addressing where the team stands now.
Are we better today? Probably not. Yeah, it's a work in progress, and I would just hope that people know I'm as competitive as hell, and I ain't giving in.
Did you talk to Josh prior to the move? Have you talked to him since the move?
I have not talked to him since the move. I think it's important for me to make sure if I think something could happen to make sure he's not blindsided. I did alert him that, you know, there had been some inquiries and it wasn't 100% off the table.
Okay, so perhaps Josh Allen had a hint it was coming, and perhaps we all could have if we'd been following Stefon Diggs on social media. He changed his background picture a week ago to him waving goodbye, and then just 2 days ago he responded to a user saying Josh Allen doesn't benefit from elite wide receivers with the simple question, are you sure? Well, now I guess we're going to find out. The man who always has all the answers for us is Schefty, who gets up with us early this morning. All right, Schefty, take it from the top. How did this happen?
Well, big picture, Greeny, obviously there was always the chance that the two sides were going in separate directions. All you had to do was watch Stefon Diggs on the football field and the way that he interacted with his teammates and in that organization. There were times when he was upset on the field. You could see there were times when he and Josh Allen were not on the same page. And then this offseason, you could begin to trace the breadcrumbs. And they started really a few weeks ago when the Houston Texans went to the Minnesota Vikings to make a trade to get out of the first round. Now, many people assumed that the Vikings initiated that deal to get extra capital in the first round for a quarterback when it was the Texans who initiated that trade to get out of the first round. Clearly, there was a reason they wanted out of the first round, and they wanted extra second round capital to go make a move like the one they did yesterday for Stefon Diggs. This was a relationship in Buffalo that had run its course. The Bills recognized that if and when they traded Stefon Diggs, that they were going to have to absorb an extra $3 million salary cap charge. They're now about $4 million under the cap. They get back an extra $10 million when Tre'Davious White comes off their books after June 1. So they were in position to be able to make this move, and it's been a reset at the wide receiver position. They add Mac Collins. They add Curtis Samuel, and those right now are the top targets. And for the people saying, well, Buffalo should go out now and trade for a wide receiver, sign a high-priced wide receiver, they can't afford to do it. They're going to have to find economical, efficient ways to restock the wide receiver room, most notably through the draft. And with all the talent in the first round of this draft, the Bills have to be considered somebody that's going to take a long, hard look at wide receiver in round one.
Yeah, they pick at number 28, and there should definitely be there will definitely be star caliber receivers that are available then. Before I bring everyone else in, let's just illustrate what Schefty just said. Cindy, can we put up a full screen graphic number one this morning? We have, put your feet up, folks. We're not going anywhere for a while here. We got a lot to dive into here. And so this is what the wide receiver room looks like. Here's the point that Schefty was just making. They've got Curtis Samuel. They have Khalil Shakir, who was coming along last year, actually played big for them in that playoff game against Kansas City. But you have only three guys who've ever caught a pass last year. No pass catcher, including the tight ends on the current Bills roster, has ever caught 100 passes or had 1,000 receiving yards in a season. So is there a hole in that room at this moment? There most certainly is. So, Damian Woody, it will lead some people to say the Bills are taking a step back. The Bills, we talked about the window closing and all that kind of stuff, and Josh Allen. Have they taken a huge step back trading away Stephon Diggs?
Well, listen, that's a lot of production that's walking out the door and walking to the Houston Texans. There's no question about that. And in 4 years, you're talking about a guy, Stephon Diggs, I believe, led the National Football League in reception. Mm-hmm. You know, that's the type of production that we're talking about. But, Greeny, I go back to the playoff game against the Cincinnati Bengals a couple years ago, the divisional round where they lost that game at home.
Yep.
Clearly, you saw the dynamic between Josh Allen, Stephon Diggs. I think that in that scenario, in that situation, there was something going on in that game. And I don't think the relationship ever repaired or ever got back on track at that point. To the point now where clearly the team felt like we're going to swallow $31 million in dead cap money, mm-hmm, and give away a 2025 second round pick in order to get this guy out of the building. So the question now is, okay, Josh, you're the guy. You're our franchise guy. We need you to elevate the other players on this roster. Right.
Let's actually once again illustrate. Put that graphic back up, Cindy, if you can there, please. That was number two, and that is exactly how productive this duo has been. Josh Allen and Stephon Diggs, how productive have they been? More than any other combination in the entire NFL. If we can see it again briefly, here it comes. Again, they are first in yards, first in completions, tied for first with Travis Kelce and Patrick Mahomes in touchdowns. So there have been no more productive combinations. And look, I think a lot of people have credited Stephon Diggs with being a huge component in the extraordinary development of Josh Allen. And I think that is true. All these things can be true at the same time.
You sure about that?
Am I not sure about that?
Are you sure about that? That was Stephon's
meaning
question.
He said that. Yeah. Right. Well, the point is, there's no question. I believe there is, mm-hmm, no question. I don't even think this is an opinion. I think it's a statement of fact, mm-hmm, that the acquisition of Stephon Diggs when they made it
completely changed Josh's trajectory and how we talk about Josh Allen and what we expect of Josh Allen. The minute that Stephon Diggs got to Buffalo, it's like, okay, he's got a clear number one. Now what can this guy do? And based on those stats that Cindy just put up, clearly, they've been cooking, but they haven't gotten to a Super Bowl and won it together, and that's part of the problem. Greeny, I'll be honest, I hated this trade for Buffalo when it happened, because make no mistake, on April 4th, Buffalo was far worse than it was when the week started.
On April 3rd, yeah.
But this is one of those moves where sometimes addition through subtraction, in the long run, it might be better for them. And I think back to a famous AFC scholar who once said, we want volunteers, not hostages. And that's Mike Tomlin. And I think in this situation, if Stephon Diggs felt like the window was closing in Buffalo, he wasn't focused enough on, then he needs to go. Simple as that.
Talk to me, Bart Scott.
Yeah. Well, production breeds tolerance. And now he's been a squeaky wheel. But when you talk about Buffalo and when they turned their season around, it's because they went through James Cook. You know, you got to understand that Joe Brady may decide to go in a different route. You know, they have two outstanding tight ends. That's their advantage right now. And I think sometimes you talk about, you know, them being one of the most productive duels in football. That's a good thing and a bad thing. The good thing was that, you know, they were productive. The bad thing is that Josh forced the ball to him, and when the defense didn't dictate the ball should go there, he had to force it anyway because you have a diva over there that you have to try and make happy. And, you know, it became a distraction to the team. And I think this is an indication that, hey, you're on the wrong side of 30, and before your production was elite, you were able to separate. But now the league is catching up to him, and he's starting to slow down. Now, he still has maybe two elite years, I believe, in being a number one. But I think they saw that, you know, the game was changing. He was changing. It's time to go in a different direction. Right, you can't have this, right? And it's time for Josh Allen to step up and be a leader and time for him to elevate. He got him over the hump, and he helped develop him as a young quarterback. But now Josh is in the middle of his career. He has to put more on his shoulders.
That video you're seeing right there is the game that D-Wood was referring to earlier, that playoff loss against Cincinnati in, yep, Buffalo, a very disappointing performance all the way around by the Bills. And you saw a demonstrative Diggs on the sideline there, seeming to be frustrated with Allen. And to your point, there has always been a feeling that everything was not quite right between the two of them.
No matter how they tried to downplay it.
And now, you know, the proof is, exactly, in the pudding. Out he goes. Let's bring in our receiver. What do you think of this, Harry Douglas?
Well, the very first thing I thought of is that for Brandon Beam, Sean McDermott, for those guys to make this move, you don't make it without a plan. And it's not just a plan A. You got to have a plan A, B, and C to make sure that you're able to get a wide receiver for Josh Allen moving forward. Secondly, I would say this. You cannot continuously go into each season over and over again with the quarterback and your number one wide receiver not on the same page, or your number one wide receiver frustrated and feeling some type of way about whatever he may be feeling some type of way about. I would tell you, 9 times out of 10, and most of the times, 10 times out of 10, your franchise quarterback is going to win that ordeal. The organization is going to have him at the forefront, and they're going to do whatever they need to do with that wide receiver. So I just thought for the last 2 years, man, it's been too much, you know, noise between Stephon Diggs and Josh Allen. And we're talking about a duo that's been phenomenal and productive. But think about how much better they could be if you didn't have that noise between the two going on. And I would say this, though, for Buffalo, to your point, Bart, we got to look at the numbers, right? When Joe Brady became the offensive coordinator, and I have him right here. When Joe Brady was the offensive coordinator and he took over for the last 9 games, Buffalo averaged 36.7 carries per game and 156 yards per game. Under Ken Dorsey, that was 25 carries per game and 116 yards rushing per game. So the offense changed as well. And I think moving forward, you're going to see this football team in a lot of 12 personnel with the ability of Dalton Kincaid being able to be the single wide receiver slash tight end, being able to flex out in the slot as well. So I just think the offense as well is moving towards something different, more so than it was to start off last year.
Chefty.
Yeah, and how many times have we seen signs all along the way? You saw the highlights of that playoff game. You saw the tweets from Stephon Diggs' brother, the Dallas Cowboys cornerback, Trayvon Diggs, alluding to the fact that his brother was unhappy. How about 1 year ago when Stephon Diggs doesn't show up to mandatory minicamp and Sean McDermott says he's very concerned? And then, to Harry and Bart's point, you see the Bills face Stephon Diggs out of the offense a little bit as the season went on, transforming the offense. The two sides were going their own separate ways. And now you look at a team last year that many regarded as one of the top teams in the AFC. Stephon Diggs is in Houston. Gabe Davis is in Jacksonville. The top two targets from last year are scattered elsewhere in the AFC South. And now Buffalo's offense has to be transformed. And again, they're limited in what they can do because of the cap charge that they're eating. So help has to come in the draft. It has to come from Dalton Kincaid and Dawson Knox. It has to come from James Cook. It has to come from places that we're not used to seeing it in Buffalo.
That's exactly right. And it has to come for their oft-criticized quarterback. Mm-hmm. Let me play you Orlovsky yesterday. Right when this deal gets done, Orlovsky pops on yesterday, and here's what he said faces the Bills right now.
The pressure is on Brandon Bean and Josh Allen, and everyone knows how much I love Josh, and I think Brandon Bean's one of the best general managers in the NFL, but they don't have a number one or number two receiver. So this is a massive hole for their football team that they're going to have to attack in this draft, and they can't just add one wide receiver. They need to add at least two.
Okay, so you know what I have? I have the ability to see the future. I'm prescient in that way. It's one of those rarities. So I'm looking at my crystal ball, and it's November, and the Bills' offense doesn't look very good. And they're not running the ball as effectively because people are stacked up to stop it. And they have no one on the outside. And you know what all the conversation on this show is going to be? And across the hall, you know what Stephen A. and Shannon are going to be saying? And what's wrong with Josh Allen? Oh, Josh Allen has fallen off. Oh, Josh Allen is no longer a top three quarterback in the NFL. Oh, Josh Allen is forcing the ball places. Oh, Josh Allen is running too much and taking too many hits. Josh Allen continues to do more with less than anybody in the
NFL.
Kmart. No. This again. You tell me. I just showed you what the wide receiver room looks like right now. So all of a sudden, you're going to plug in a rookie that you take 28th in the draft, and you're going to say, go ahead, kid. Go ahead, Josh. Lead us out there to a Super Bowl. Because that's the expectation.
You can.
And when they don't get there, here's who he's got to throw to right now, okay? It's not exactly Jerry Rice.
That's today.
And James Lofton. What?
Curtis Samuel is a well respect. He just can't stay healthy. I think, listen, we saw Lamar Jackson win an MVP. Sometimes less is more. And I think when Brady took over, they start running the ball.
No,
what I'm saying is they start running the ball and protecting Josh from himself because now he can make one or two Superman plays and don't have to put the cape on at the beginning and be the best running back out there and the best playmaker.
But no one is impressed with Lamar Jackson winning MVPs anymore, and no one will be impressed with Josh Allen winning MVPs anymore. This is all about those guys getting over the hump. Which one of them breaks through? And until it is Allen, people are going to continue to blame him for things that he's not capable of overcoming. What?
We just saw Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah.
Granted, best quarterback we
different
have,
level.
But have to do more with less.
Uh-huh.
Way yeah. less.
Mm-hmm.
Since Tyreek Hill left, how many Super Bowls has he won?
Two.
Thank you. Okay. Bart brought up Lamar Jackson. Nobody was giving Lamar any passes when they had no wide receivers in Baltimore, number one. Justin Herbert, now, he's got a new head coach. Who are his wide receivers right now? We expect the Chargers to add guys in the draft, correct? The Bills, we expect them to add wide receivers in the draft. Listen, when you get paid like you are the guy, you have to perform. And it's hard. It's not easy, but there's only a few guys who we have these lofty expectations for,
right.
And Josh is one of them. And that is the expectation.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Go ahead, do what?
Do you expect me to feel sorry for Josh?
Get him,
yes,
D-Wood. Get him, D-Wood.
That's exactly what I expect.
I don't.
Get
I don't.
Him.
But
part.
Hold on. But it's coming
that
from
part.
A place of admiration. Because
exactly.
Josh Allen is, in my opinion, one of the top three quarterbacks that we have
ooh.
In our league.
Ooh.
Josh Allen, whoa, there's no whoa here. There's no discussion.
He's right.
He's right. He's right. He's right.
He's one of the rare quarterbacks in our league that can elevate guys around him. So, yes, is the Buffalo Bills going to have to add people, add to the wide receiver room? Absolutely. But we've been talking about Josh. Josh Allen has been on the Madden cover. Josh Allen, and we've been talking ad nauseum about Josh Allen. Like,
get
it's
him.
Time for Josh Allen to bow up and get it done.
Have you not? But you're
get
making my point
bow
for me.
Up and get it done.
You're making my point for me. So it doesn't matter if he's the MVP
but
of the league.
It
and
done.
It doesn't matter
right.
how spectacular the plays are. And it doesn't make any difference if he puts up huge numbers. When this team doesn't get to the Super Bowl, people are going to rip him. And if you're going to make the comparison to Patrick
they
Mahomes.
They rip all these quarterbacks.
Patrick Mahomes
though.
May have lost Tyreek Hill, but yeah. he's got the best pass-catching tight end in the history of the sport on his team.
And they're hoping Kincaid can develop to that. I think that, encouraged them that, hey, they have a mismatch and maybe taking the ball out of his hands a little bit will help this team out. But listen, this is foreshadowing and forecasting what we believe is going to happen whenever you pay your quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
To Kim's point, right, foreshadowing for Baltimore. Foreshadowing for Jalen Hurts, right? That credit card bill is always due. And this team, we come a far way before the big play Gabe and the overtime loss to Kansas City. And now we fast forward, the credit card's due. Von Miller was a bad contract, right? So now you're looking at Brandon Bean. Brandon Bean spent some bad money, and now he has to pay the
price. I'm coming to you guys in a second, but first, Cindy, can we put up a graphic 3, please? Just to show everybody. They want to talk about the credit card bill being due. They've lost everyone. I mean, the Bills have lost. Look,
if their
the
windows, their windows
the
closed. That's what happened.
Right, is who everybody that look how decimated their defense has been.
And what did that? The bad contract with Darius White. It's the fact that they paid their quarterback $1 billion. That's foreshadowing for everyone.
This right here, what we're looking at, is what happens when you do not take advantage of that window when you have a quarterback on a rookie deal. That's the reality. It's not just in Buffalo. It's other places. So the Bills are not unique in this situation.
Shefty.
Look at the Houston Texans. They have C.J. Stroud on a rookie contract. So they can go trade for Stephon Diggs. Yep. They can go sign Danielle Hunter. They can redo Joe Mixon's deal. They can go add whoever they want because they're not paying the quarterback yet and don't have to pay him for at least two more seasons. So the Houston Texans, while the Buffalo Bills deal with the salary cap situation that they have and have to make moves, can add all they want because they don't have to pay C.J. Stroud $50 million against the cap. They can spread that out however they want, and it makes them that much more powerful in the AFC. And that's why if you hit on a rookie quarterback, you are set up for 4 years to have a tremendous run to try to take advantage of. And that's exactly what the Houston Texans are now doing. And you think how far this organization has come. 2 years ago, they were a laughingstock. Nobody wanted to go to Houston. Nobody wanted to talk about Houston. And now they're one of the best franchises in the National Football League.
No question. Harry, got 30 seconds. Final word on this. Go.
Good, Greeny. That's all I need. Because I think we're all forgetting one main component when it comes to Josh Allen. His kryptonite is Patrick Mahomes. Last time I checked, Patrick Mahomes isn't going anywhere, and he's just getting started.
Yeah, I mean, look, Mahomes has a million advantages. All I'm saying is, mm-hmm. you just keep taking things away from Josh Allen.
But they gave him everything.
And then in November, okay, and he got them. He walked off the field with the lead with 13 seconds left in Kansas City.
Has
he been an MVP yet?
He let Joe Burrow come in his house and send him home.
Patrick Mahomes.
We talk about Josh Allen more than probably any quarterback in the National Football League.
Well,
period.
More than Dak.
Okay, Chester. You're right.
I thought we were going to get through one segment without talking about Dak.
just wait until the Aaron Rodgers stuff comes back. We got that. Meanwhile, we got much more on this Stephon Diggs blockbuster coming up. Can the Bills still win the division? Are the Texans now the biggest threat to Patrick and the Chiefs? We're talking about it all. Plus, some basketball. McNutt is here. Boston beats down one of the NBA's best. Are the Celtics on the fast track to the finals? Can anybody beat them? We've got all the answers. It's Get Up on ESPN.
Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Get Up is brought to you by FX's American Horror Story, Delicate, returns with part 2, all new Wednesdays on FX, stream on Hulu. Wake up call, Shohei Ohtani for the first time as a Dodger, do it.
Loud a bit.
3-1. Signature.
Ohtani going deep. Coming up next, more on the Buffalo blockbuster. What does it mean on both sides? The answers next.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And, boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Wednesday night on ABC, Brittany Griner, for the first time since being released from a Russian prison, shares her story.
You've been told to go through your bag, and you felt...
Felt the cartridge.
What were you thinking at that moment when you felt that?
My life is over right here.
Her sentence.
Just been told you're going to be 9 years in one of the worst prisons in Russia.
I was just so scared for everything, because there's just so much unknown.
Brittany Griner, Robin Roberts, Prisoner in Russia. Wednesday night at 10, 9 central on ABC.
Bottom of the hour, back on Get Up. Top story coming out of the National Football League. The Bills trading wide receiver Stephon Diggs to the Texans. Buffalo will carry a dead money charge of roughly $31 million into next season as part of the deal. What does it mean for the Bills? Well, ESPN Bet still believes Buffalo is the team to beat in the AFC East, but their price went from plus 135 to plus 160. You see the Dolphins, the Jets, and then the Patriots jumbled up close together. Bartholomew Scott.
You already know.
Is the AFC
hand
East.
Hand the baton off.
Hand it. Who's the team to beat in the AFC East?
Come on, man. We already know. Gangrene, baby. And I'm not just being
Preach.
A homer.
Take the helmet.
Listen. I'm not being a homer, man. I promise. Hey, Doogie, don't do that to me, son.
I know. That was the biggest helmet we could get. Keep going.
Listen, when you talk about what the Jets have done in the offseason, the ability to draft, you know, and go out and solidify the offensive line, tell me where the weakness is, right? The Jets are in a position where they have the ability to improve and take the best available player. Not in the first round. I think we all know what they have to do in the first round. But they're in a position now where they're in prime real estate where maybe Minnesota gets desperate, maybe the Broncos get desperate, where they can get a second-round draft pick and continue to build this depth of this team.
Right.
And they're really happy with Breece Hall coming back from a healthy year. When you go back and you want to go and play the game on paper, the Jets have the best roster, the most talent, and the deepest squad.
This is not the question
that was
that
remarkably
I was asked.
Well done, by the way. Yes, it is the question you were asked.
Because
who's going to win the division?
We said, who has the – who? Okay. And my answer was, on April 4th, the Jets on paper have a better team.
That's why it says
talk
Jets underneath
but
your name.
Win the Jay, East, even before this trade.
No,
win
no.
the East.
Sorry, here. What were you saying?
No.
Talk to the helmet.
Talk to me, first of all.
Yeah.
Today, the Jets have the better team on paper. But
yes.
In no way am I saying right now that the Jets are going to win this division. You
why
can't
not?
Say that.
Who's going to win the division?
Why? If
first
they got the best team,
all,
why aren't they going to win the
all,
division?
Again, on paper, you guys always win the offseason.
Oh, my God.
Always win the offseason. Y'all haven't been to an AFC title game since I was covering both of you.
And we won the offseason that year.
Okay, so let's be serious.
Haven't been
now.
To the playoffs since then, but that's a whole other conversation. Damian Woody, you've got the Jets underneath your face as well.
Yeah. You know, I believe the Jets are going to win in the division this year.
They stack.
But listen, everything is when you talk about the Jets, everything is predicated on health.
Right.
Everything is predicated on health.
That's a big caveat.
I'm not going to dispute that. You got a 40-year-old quarterback coming back off of Achilles. You got two 30-plus-year-old tackles. There's question marks about that. But right now, like
today,
that's all we can go on is today. The Jets got the best roster in the division.
Arguably
there's no question
NFL,
about that. Look.
I'm not
the Buffalo Bills dealt away their best wide receiver, one of their best players, Stephon Diggs. We've seen all the losses that they've had on the defensive side of the football.
Right.
That unit is year after year been one of the best units in the National Football League. Miami has been decimated by people leaving. Then they had injuries to the two of their best players on the defensive side. So, I'm looking at it on paper.
Bishop Woody, it sounds like you were cooking. But here's the thing. You keep glossing over Father Time and Turf Fields. I'm sorry.
I'm not glossing over Father Time.
Kimberly is undecided.
Did you hear what I said? The first thing I said was Aaron Rodgers and his Achilles. Two offensive tackles that are 30-plus. I said that. But I'm saying on paper, now, the Jets are the best team in the division.
Great.
Let me get Harry in here. Harry, even though I would prefer to ignore you because it says Buffalo Bills on your name. Why
Hater
do you
Harry.
Say the Bills, decimated as they are by departure, as we just showed you, are still the team to beat?
Well, number one, I'm looking at their defense. They still have Ed Oliver, Gregory Rasul. They still have Von Miller. They still have Daquan Jones. They still have Matt Milano. They still have Terrell Bernard. They still have Taron Johnson. They still have players. They brought Mike Edwards over from Kansas City, who just won a Super Bowl for the safety position. And also, they have the best damn quarterback in the division, y'all.
So
let's not be silly when we're making these picks.
Who got the better defense, Harry?
It don't matter when I say
what
they
do you
got
mean
the
it
better
matter?
Quarterback in the division.
I don't think that's true either.
I said it didn't matter where I started.
He's 2 years removed from being an MVP. Like, don't miss me with the, like, it's a big discrepancy between. And listen, the New York Jets never really have a problem with beating the Buffalo Bills when you consider, and that's with Aaron Rodgers or without Aaron Rodgers. Mm-hmm. They win
they
regardless.
Well.
So, like, you talk about the gauntlet, the Jets are deep, man.
Brandon,
like, I don't know what you're talking
about. Brandon, would you please?
Give me a second.
We're back. Harry, we're back. Okay, I can't have it. We are back. We are back. You just stand right there. It's back. Okay. The whole off season is over. All this vice president nonsense. We're done with that. We can move on, right? We're not talking about anything but football now. And we now all of a sudden we've got the roster to do it around. So you just from now until September, you just stand here with that.
Is that getting hung up again?
Well, we'll talk about it. In the meantime,
the Greenberg jersey's got to stay up there for a little bit longer.
The Bills side of this has been covered. The other side of this, the young, scrappy, and hungry Houston Texans, fascinating. Yesterday on First Take, right after this trade, Stephen A. was praising the Texans for making the deal while taking a not-so-subtle shot at the other team in Texas. Listen to Stephen A.
And it's one thing for you not to win a Super Bowl. That's bad enough. It's one thing for you not to make an NFC Championship game in 29 years. That's even worse. But it's another thing entirely when you ain't even the best team in Texas. Because that goes to somebody. They got a younger quarterback. They have the better coach. And these brothers ain't going to cost $60 million against your cap right now. And all the Houston Texans are doing is saying, howdy, we're here. You understand? And our focus is on the right things. I'm just saying.
Listen, I will not only echo that, but I'll add to it. You can say you're all in. Mm. This is what all in looks like. Now, granted, they have the huge advantage of not having to pay the quarterback all of that money. We just talked about that. I totally understand it. But they have done this exactly right. They have gone all in. And if you're looking at the ascending team in the National Football League, there is no question right now it's Houston.
Yeah, it's definitely Houston. And you look at what D'Amico Ryans has done. He had a front row seat to how, you know, San Francisco used the advantage of having a rookie quarterback and loading up, going out and getting hired guns. And this is essentially what he's doing, going out and getting Danielle Hunter, you know, going out against Stephon Diggs. But, you know, sometimes you have to be careful because chemistry is an important thing. You see right there, Nico Collins is that number one. Will Stephon Diggs come there with the humility to blend in to that culture, or will he be that same distraction wanting the ball? You know what I'm saying? Like, or is he more concerned with winning championships or making sure that he can prove that he's still a number one receiver? Because Nico Collins is that number one receiver.
Well, Tank Dell had been their number one as
My
well.
My point.
Nico. And now they have another number one coming in. Greeny, we all have exes, right? We all have exes.
Speak for yourself.
Go ahead, keep going.
But when people talk about their past relationships, and you ask, well, what happened? Oh, well, dog, like, oh, she was nagging me all the time, like, oh, da, da, da. What happened there? Oh, well, he, you know, he wasn't about nothing, da, 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 da. Well, the thing with Stephon Diggs is the issue was in Minnesota. Now we got an issue in Buffalo. Is he going to come to Houston and it's going to be good? Or is he going to be the same guy that said, oh, well, it's them, not me? And I hope, given this roster, given the talent that they have at quarterback, that he is able to mesh and do whatever he has to do, because he will come in there as the one. I think he's going to come in there, and regardless wherever he is, he's going to command attention. And so that will free up opportunities for Tank, for Nico, for other guys on this roster. And that's what, but the thing is, that existed in Buffalo too. Like, we said, oh, now he's got that guy at quarterback. Like, this is what Stephon needed. Mm-hmm. Well, Stephon had that. So he has a great situation in Houston. Hopefully this works out.
Let's find out from our receiver. Harry, what do you think? Like, how does, what, okay, let's do it this way. Stephon Diggs to the Texans equals what?
They're trying to dethrone the Kansas City Chiefs, the back-to-back defending Super Bowl champions. And this is another move and a piece to the puzzle that could hopefully allow them to do that.
Are they the biggest threat right now, Harry? Tank Dell Harry, was... right now, we understand what they're trying to do. In your mind, are they the biggest threat to Kansas City in the AFC right now?
I'm not putting them over Baltimore.
No.
But they're right there close.
Baltimore lost a lot. D-Wood? I love Baltimore, of course.
I'm not putting them over Baltimore
right now. No.
I'm not with the group.
Listen, I know.
I thought they were, to me, Houston. I've been out of Houston since last year. What I saw C.J. Stroud go into Cincinnati, go toe-to-toe with Joe Burrow and win, I was like, okay, this guy's different. Even before they got Stephon, I was like, this is a team that could win a Super Bowl. Now that they have Stephon, I don't think, for me, nothing has changed. Like, to me, like, it is Houston and it is Cincinnati that could go after the Chiefs.
I think Houston is like ahead of schedule, but I'm not annoying anybody.
Yeah.
You asked me to go against the DNA of Baltimore.
Mm-hmm.
Baltimore, no. Lamar Jackson, that defense, they're going to get better. They're going to get better. Baltimore is going to get better. They were in the first year of a new OC last year.
Yeah.
Like, they're going to get better. So, I'm not there yet.
Everybody know I love Baltimore, right? But the issue that Baltimore is going to run into is the same one that the Philadelphia Eagles ran into last year. The way that you break down, you know, proud organizations is to steal, you know, their coaches. They lost three coaches on the defense side of the ball. Anthony Weaver is gone. They lost their coordinator.
Yeah.
They're trying to put another defensive system in. And listen, I'm not just trying to be funny, man. When I say that this team here is legit,
yes,
and this team is if this team stays healthy and this guy is upright, I'm not just saying this, man. You talk about defense. You talk about having a closer. They didn't have a closer last year.
No closer.
Hassan Reddick is a closer. When somebody that can get to that quarterback and make that play that you need, they have everything that you need. They have scheme versatility on defense. They're going to have ability with Aaron Rodgers behind center. You know. We understand Tyron Smith is injured, but they have the ability to put him on a pitch count by going and drafting one of the best tackles in the game. They have Mike Williams on the outside. And I know it's a lot of ifs, but every quarterback has these ifs. What if Lamar gets hurt, right? We still have questions about his health. What if Joe Burrow gets hurt, right? So we say these same things, man. I know that these guys here have been the butt of a lot of jokes. But Joe Douglas has done everything that he needs to do. And if healthy, this is the best team and the biggest threat to Kansas City, because this guy right here ain't afraid of nobody.
What he said. Okay, we'll take a short break on that thought as we continue. A Boston beatdown over one of the NBA's best. Are the Celtics on the fast track to the finals? Can anyone beat them? Plus, would Caitlin Clark become the GOAT of women's basketball if she wins the national championship? We have a voice that says no. You will hear why as we continue. Oh, what a morning we got working. It's Get Up on ESPN. Wear it with pride. Wear it with pride. Fooling around here. Back on Get Up, and down the stretch we go in the NBA. Let's run the floor with Austin Rivers and Monica McNutt. Austin, I'll start with you. LeBron, AD combined for 60 and a win over the Wizards. The Lakers have won 8 out of 9. How far can this team go?
I mean, this is exactly what we wanted to see. We wanted to see the Lakers play this type of basketball early in the season. You look at their starting lineup, numbers were spread out across the board. Reeves, Russell, Davis, Hachimura, and LeBron James rounding it out. They were all dominant last night. I don't want to take too much from it. They played probably the worst defense that I've seen in 10, 15 years. The Washington Wizards are a team that you really go out there to get your confidence versus at this point. But this is what we want to see on the Lakers side. We want to see this team compete and play at a high level, and they are dangerous. This is not a team you want to play first round in the NBA playoffs.
Eight out of the last nine. If I'm telling you the Lakers are going to make things very interesting again in the Western Conference playoffs, are you buying?
Not very. We got to see what happens with the play-in. Look, if things ended right now, they still have to win 2 games just to get to a series.
Right.
And the series would be the Nuggets?
Well, you never know. That's the point. The Nuggets could end up anywhere from first to third.
Right.
Everyone has to try and avoid them, and right now you don't really know how to do it. Meanwhile, on the other side, we know where the Celtics are going to wind up. They've already clinched the one seed in the East. Can anyone challenge them in that conference?
I don't think so, Greeny. This team, to me, they've been far and away the best team in the Eastern Conference. You look at the way that they can play basketball, the versatility that Kristaps Porzingis gives, Jason Tatum having an MVP caliber year. I do not think that this is a fluke. What's going to be the key, obviously, is can they allow this to roll into their postseason play? Like, do they continue to play with confidence and efficiency in terms of not letting series drag on?
Yeah, because there will be such high expectations. Mm-hmm. I mean, there always are with this team, but obviously practically unprecedented. And Austin, I'll set up asking you a similar question by showing you what happened with the Bucks again last night. You talk about the Wizards and how that's a team that everyone should beat up on. Well, Milwaukee just somehow lost to them the other night, and now they lose to the Grizzlies by 10. So, Austin, the Bucks are supposed to be the biggest threat to the Celtics in the Eastern Conference, and they remain right now in the second position. What is going on with them?
It's a good question, Greeny. Well, for one, health. You know, last night they played without Damian Lillard and Chris Middleton. They will go nowhere in these playoffs if they don't have their full roster and if they're not in full health. Secondly, they have to get better on perimeter defense. And even without those two last night, they should have enough to beat teams like Memphis. I know Memphis has guys that are playing hard and some young talent, but we see teams all the time when we talk about the top tier teams, whether it's Boston, Denver, whoever, if they have a guy or two missing, even if they are key guys, they're able to go out there and get those big wins, must wins. And we've seen them drop too many games now this late in the season where it is a cause for concern. You know, we need to see more consistency with them. I don't know who can rival Boston at this point. It looks like Boston is a shoe-in. Again, we got to see it in the playoffs. We got to see them beat teams like Miami. But I don't know. It's not looking good in Milwaukee right now.
Let me present you one possibility, Monica, and that is with a healthy Joel Embiid, they have six games left. I will remind everyone that in games in which Embiid has played this year, the Sixers have the second best record in the entire NBA, only behind Boston. So am I sitting here telling you I would pick the Sixers to beat them in a best of seven series? No, certainly not. Am I saying that's the one I could see? If you're telling me right now someone's going to beat them in a best of seven, I think I'm leaning in that direction, McNutt.
Greeny, and I'm leaning with you. The boat might tip over because I agree. And you look at Joel Embiid and his return. If he can use the next, I think it's eight games or so, to get a lather and get good momentum, and then he'll have a series before he would run into the Boston Celtics potentially. If that team gets back to the way that he was playing before the injury, then yes, that was the matchup that we were all anticipating.
The scenario that it looks like it could give us now, they have six regular season games left, and then most likely the play-in against Miami, the 7-8 game. If the Sixers win that game, Austin, it would most likely be a matchup between the Sixers and the Bucks in that first round. That is a terrible, just a terrible way for things to work out, I would think, for Milwaukee.
And yeah, imagine having a good season where you put a decent record together and you're rewarded by a Sixers team that's been depleted, but now they have Joel Embiid back in the lineup. I mean, that is not the reward you really want. They're dangerous. They're obviously a totally different team with Joel Embiid, as you alluded to. That is not a team you want to play first round at all. Philly's dangerous. I mean, it is what it is.
And Miami is always punches above their weight as well. So whoever comes out of that 7-8 game in the East is not going to be a picnic. Meanwhile, the biggest story in basketball right now clearly comes from the women's college game and that woman right there. Caitlin Clark named the 2024 Naismith National Player of the Year yesterday. It's the second straight year she wins that honor. This after Iowa, of course, clinches a spot in the Final Four on Monday. The following morning, I had Rebecca Lobo here, and I asked her about Caitlin Clark and the GOAT debate in women's basketball. She had a fascinating answer. Listen.
When you get into the GOAT conversation, does she need to win a national championship in order to be considered the GOAT? I don't think so. I think she needs to win multiple national championships to be in that kind of a conversation. Because when you look at the history of the game, you know, Candace Parker won two championships at Tennessee. Diana Taurasi won three championships. Breanna Stewart won four national championships. Not only won four championships, she was the most outstanding performer in four Final Fours. Caitlin is an incredible player. She has done more in terms of bringing attention and eyeballs to the women's game than any player we have ever seen. That's a mere fact. But when you want to talk about the GOAT conversation and you add championships to the mix, you have to understand the history of the game.
certainly no one does that better than Rebecca Lobo, but you do as well, Monica. So when you hear this, and obviously everyone delighted with the attention that this has brought to the sport, but this is the kind of conversation that comes with all of this increased attention.
I love it. Let's do it.
If she wins on Sunday, if she knocks off Connecticut on Friday night and then potentially an unbeaten South Carolina on Sunday night, who's been the best team in the country all year long, if you come in here on Monday morning, will you say to me, Greeny, she is the greatest of all time?
I will say that she has probably had the greatest of all time college year. If I can boil it down to 1 year. I get what Rebecca Lobo is saying. And don't get me wrong. In a vacuum, you probably would take every single one of the players that she just mentioned over Caitlin Clark. But I do think something is very unique that's happening in the women's game that you have to acknowledge. The last 5 years, we've had five different NCAA championships on the women's side. You got to go back to 92 through 96 for the last time that happened. And so the players that she just rattled off are at these historically excellent institutions for women's basketball and dominated the landscape. For so long, Greeny, we have clamored for this idea of parity in the women's game. And even Gino Auriemma last night talking to our guy, Scott Van Pelt, admitted that where we are right now is a beautiful place and there is more parity. Caitlin is doing this largely with no other All-American, no highly ranked teammate. Diana Taurasi, oh, she got to play alongside Sue Bird. Breanna Stewart, oh, yeah, Nafisa Collier was on that team. Candace Parker, you could go down that roster and pick your highly ranked women's basketball standout athlete. So I think I do understand what Rebecca Lobo is saying, and I think that is probably why some folks have bristled a little bit in terms of this conversation, because there is so much history and so much star power prior to this moment. But when you look at the team that Caitlin Clark is potentially pulling, you'd be hard-pressed to say that this is not one of the greatest runs in a GOAT-type qualifier from a single individual.
It's going to be spectacular. You'll see it tomorrow night. She's back on the floor against one of those traditional powerhouses. You mentioned it. And the head-to-head matchup with Paige Beckers. The women's Final Four tomorrow night. NC State taking on undefeated South Carolina. Again, the Gamecocks have been the best team from jump this season. And then there's the matchup. Paige Beckers and Caitlin Clark. UConn and Iowa. Pre-game coverage starts tomorrow night at 6 on ESPN. Sue Bird and Diana Taurasi will be on ESPN2 and ESPN+. So we've got you covered in every conceivable way. Coming up, back to the blockbuster. Does Josh Allen have anyone left to throw the ball to? Is he being asked to do too much? I finally have someone on my side in this debate, and you will hear who it is next.
Wednesday night on ABC, Brittany Griner, for the first time since being released from a Russian prison, shares her story.
You've been told to go through your bag, and you felt...
Felt cartridge.
What were you thinking that moment when you felt that?
My life is over right here.
Her sentence.
Just been told you're going to be 9 years in one of the worst prisons in Russia.
I was just so scared for everything, because there's just so much unknown.
Brittany Griner, Robin Roberts, Prisoner in Russia. Wednesday night at 10, 9 central on ABC.